Hey, this is Vat Stevens. I'm in Batu Feringhi, Penang, Malaysia, of all places at the moment. And I'm sitting here with Lyubica Demetska, who's at the university in Tarragona, Spain, that we were just at. What's the name of that university, Lyubica?
The name of the university is Rovira and Virgili.
Okay, thanks. And Lyubica is using webcam, and there she is in the webcam. And she has been working with Dr. Christine Appel, who gave a presentation at the Cal, the 17th, I believe, annual, Cal Research Conference about TandemBook. I went to see that presentation. I was very interested in it. Lyubica is a grad student working with Dr. Appel, and she's going to tell us about some of the data that the MOOC generates. Maggie Sokolich gave a presentation in Learning Together. By the way, this is a Learning Together event, our weekly event. This one is July 26th, 2015. I was saying that Maggie Sokolich gave a presentation about a writing MOOC, and she asked herself rhetorically, why would anyone put on a MOOC? And she answered herself, well, data points. Of course, MOOCs generate a lot of data points. So I think I'm really looking forward to hear what Lyubica tells us about the things she's studying, the data that's coming out of that MOOC. And so this is the Tandem MOOC, of course, not the writing MOOC. So Lyubica, thank you very much for taking your time on this Sunday afternoon for you in Spain, and to Sabrina Wilson also for setting up this event. And Lyubica, over to you. Tell us what you're going to talk about.
Okay, so thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to present my work, first of all. And today I'll talk about my master's thesis project, my master's dissertation, and the findings I got from the data I collected, which was mainly qualitative data. Okay, so what I looked in were the students' perceptions of learning and networking in tandem MOOC. Okay, now you can see here that I wrote a case study. But this is not a case study because I had a lot of data in the end. I had almost 14 interviewees, okay? So that's quite a lot of data and can be considered as a case study, but can be considered a small qualitative study, okay? So I'll start with slide one. And so what I'm going to talk about, first of all, is my statement and the statement problem, so what I was researching in the pandemic. I will briefly go through the theoretical framework. So I will talk about the MOOCs versus telecollaboration. Then I will talk a little bit about Tandem MOOC and how it was set and what project was it part of. And then I will explain the purpose of my study. I will go through the methods. And then I will discuss the findings. And as I will also provide some of the recommendations for the future editions for Tandem MOOC, basically for the next one. It's going to happen next year. And, well, I'll also talk about some of the limitations of my study and topics still for further research, of course, if we have time, if the time allows us. So, yes. So I'll just start with slide one, if that's okay. All right, so as we can see here from the statement, the most effective way to learn a second language is by using it, but the most motivating way is by far to use the language by communicating with native speakers, which is something that can be quite challenging, okay, because mainly the problems I see as an English teacher as well is basically the availability of native speakers. What language are we learning? So the status of the target language. Maybe with English and Spanish, this is not happening that much, but with other languages, I'm sure it is. And well, also whether. Hello? Oh no, I'm on my audio fine. Okay. So and basically, so this. Okay. Thank you. So the status of the target language, as I was saying before, and also whether we are respecting the criteria for successful learning. So whether these two people are communicating, I mean, through a meaningful task, whether we are getting enough exposure to the target language, whether we are getting enough feedback so we can correct our mistakes, whether we are getting enough support in terms of different kinds of materials, books, internet, whatever we can find, and the appropriate one, and whether we have enough motivation actually to continue with this. With learning the foreign language. Okay, so for me, this were one of the problems I was a couple of problems that I was looking at. Any questions? Okay, I'll just continue then. All right. So what I looked at when looking at theoretical framework were the MOOCs on one hand, which a couple of years ago, more precisely in 2011, created a boom in open education. And well, they also researched so far found that MOOCs have great potential, especially when it comes to developing critical thinking. And but do we have questions for the previous one? All right, so I'll just continue. So basically there is studies have shown that MOOCs have a lot of potential when it comes to developing critical thinking and problem solving activities, and that well mostly when
Yes. Okay. I was going to ask you just a question from the beginning, because well, I do know what tandem MOOC is, but it would be useful if you explain just what tandem MOOC is. For example, it's a way of people being able to arrange to talk to each other in each other's languages. So if you told us what the project was, and so we'd understand what's coming. Okay.
Yes, sorry, that was coming up later on in my presentation. Yes, so basically Tandem MOOC is a project coming from the Speak Up project, which was joint project by three universities. The university I finished my master's degree in, the University of Barcelona and the Open University of Catalonia. In this project, what the university did is they developed a platform called SpeakUps platform, and they also developed three tools for communication. One of the tools that was used for the tandem MOOC was the tandem tool, and this tool was basically the main tool for the course. What tandem MOOC did is it was helping students to arrange meetings with other students and to talk with each other through meaningful tasks. So it was not only just pure communication without anything, but it was also giving them topic to talk about, okay? So it was more structured as a course. And also an important thing to add is that the course was mainly created, developed for native speakers of English and native speakers of Spanish who want to practice English or Spanish respectively. And speakers had to needed at least an intermediate level in the language they were learning, so whether Spanish or English, in order to be able to complete successfully the tandem tasks. The course lasted for 6 weeks, started at the beginning of November the 4th to be more precise, and ended in mid-December. Okay, so apart from the tandem tasks, which were the main component of the course, organizers also offered other tasks, individual tasks the students could do in their free time or while they were in the platform, which were basically vocabulary tasks and, well, finding out how the course works and everything. I don't know if this is enough, or would you need some more information, or to begin with, this is okay.
That's okay for me.
All right. Okay. So then, basically, when I started the master's degree, I somehow knew that this course was happening, and so I got in touch with Professor Apple, and asked her if she would like to be my supervisor, and then she offered me to do a small research in this. And so I accepted in tandem MOOC. And so this is how this came up. For me, it was an interesting thing to start researching, especially because, as I said before, so basically I had many students who want to learn English, and they're eager to learn English, and they're very devoted. So basically, and they're very, very devoted to what they're doing, but they cannot find a speaking partner. They find it really, really difficult, okay, to actually continue practicing. And so for me, taking a look at how this course would function, a MOOC, especially a MOOC, okay, because it's massive, open, and I don't know how it would be organized and how it would function, was really interesting, okay. So this is why this is where my research idea came from, okay. Okay, and so basically this is where also the statement came from, and the problem, okay. All right, and so what I did is I took two theoretical frameworks, so basically the MOOC framework and the telecollaboration framework. Now, telecollaboration has been going on for a while now, okay, but the problem with telecollaboration is that, although some studies have shown that telecollaboration increases second language skills and intercultural communication, and also, increases the awareness of illiteracy, how people use computers and how they make their way with all the computer tools and everything, studies do show that, the settings that telecollaboration users use are very, very controlled, unlike the MOOCs, where you have an open setting with people coming in and going out whenever. Okay, and then, yes, so basically telecollaboration is closed, whereas MOOCs are much, much more open. All right, so what the course aim was to somehow blend approaches from MOOC. Okay, I will continue. So what the course did is that it blended approaches from MOOC and approaches from telecollaboration to make it work, to make an appropriate course for people to develop their oral skills and oral communication abilities. Okay. So, language MOOCs are quite new. They've been going on for about 2 years or so for the moment. And, before going into there are two types of MOOCs currently, the X MOOCs, where students learn through video presentations and quizzes, and tests. So they're very, very, they're like video lectures, okay? But, and after the video lectures, you usually have some kind of activity or a short test that you have to complete, and that's it. So there is not much interaction. And then we have the connectivist MOOCs, where students learn by creating networks of interest, engaging with other participants, engaging in activities, and creating, well, and everything goes through a platform and through social networks, but more through the social networks than within a strict platform designed exclusively for the MOOC. Okay. So, as studies about MOOCs show, there are all MOOCs have all sorts of problems, but the main problems that are currently researched on are basically the opportunities for meaningful communication, the motivation, and the dropout rates. And this is something that follows the language MOOCs as well. Basically, there are not so many opportunities for meaningful communication because, students just complete the tasks and that's it. Their motivation, sometimes you just log into a MOOC and then you log out because you see that that's not something that's interesting for you, or other reasons. And well, of course, the dropout rates, very few people actually complete the MOOCs. Okay. Any questions so far?
When you say very few people complete it, what are the exact rates?
Imagine if a MOOC has about 100,000 participants, only 7% or 8% complete the MOOC. So that's a very, very small rate of people who have completed. And this is what's going on usually.
I didn't get the essential word. What if there are, say, 1,000 people on the MOOC? Can you give it in percentages? It's easier to understand.
Can you repeat, please? I think I have some problems hearing you. I couldn't hear the whole question.
I didn't hear how many people complete a MOOC on average. Is it 5%, 10%, 20%? What?
Yes, as I mentioned, approximately about 8 to 10% usually complete the MOOC.
That's clear. Thanks.
Okay, great. Okay, so any other questions? Yes, Tandem got 13, but you should also take into consideration that Tandem MOOC was very small. It has about 1,284 participants. But yes, the percentage was much higher, mainly because Tandem was highly communicative. It was for communicative reasons, and people felt that they were involved a lot in the MOOC and that they were communicating, and so this is why they felt motivated to continue further. Okay. When talking about the issues MOOC has with communicating, I was also following another MOOC that was happening at the same time when I was completing my thesis, when I was writing up my thesis, and that was Spanish for Beginners by the Universidad a Distancia in Madrid. This MOOC was distributed through Iversity, and I did screen print, and as you can see, it's mainly, I don't know how you read Spanish, but mainly the activities are, for example, listen and repeat. So the users were watching a video, and then they would repeat again what the people in the video were saying. Okay, and then they would complete some exercises. All right. So this is just to show you a picture of how usually language MOOCs work. Well, of course, it mainly depends on the aim each MOOC wants to. The aim each MOOC wants to reach, but mainly. I would say so. Yeah. So basically, this is like a short example of tandem MOOC that was going on, language tandem MOOC. Okay. So yes. Any questions? Yes. Student speaking was recorded. Yes. Everything, yes, student speaking was recorded, always. And basically students, if they wanted, they could access their recordings in their portfolio. Each student had an online portfolio where they could access their recordings and the feedback they received, okay? Because also one important part of the course was that users gave each other feedback. It's 13% of people who initially enroll, but usually those who enrolled initially, well, they actually started the course, they did something, and then they dropped out. But yes, it's the people who enroll initially in the course, not who really actually start.
Yeah. MOOCs are completely, MOOCs don't really, I don't think you can measure them on the usual standard because they're free, they're massive, and me personally, if something interests me, I just click on it, and then I might go into a course. If it's a C MOOC, you're doing it for the interaction with other people. You don't really necessarily want to complete the course. If it's an X MOOC, where you really do need to complete the course, you might still just go into it to see if it interests you or if you like the style, or you might get something out of it but don't really care if you complete it or not, but just do it to get something out of it. So the motivation, I think, for people to take MOOCs is not at all the same. So you, as for a conventional course, because there you pay money to go to it, and if you don't continue it, you lose something. But with a MOOC, you don't lose anything. So a lot of people, I think, just take them. And that's why the attrition rate is so high. So that's why I pointed out that like a 10% success rate is a 90% attrition rate. But the 10% of the people who take the MOOC, say in a university course, might be way more than that course would graduate if it were running on the campus. So it's a different metric, I think. Do you agree?
Yes, definitely. I definitely agree. The thing is that what I was pointing out is that this is the research that is currently carried on. So basically a lot of people are taking a look at the attrition rates, so why there are so many attrition rates. But I don't know. I logged into many, many MOOCs and there are not many MOOCs that I finished either, because I also see it that way. I see if something interests me, well, I just log in and check it out, and then if I see that, well, there's not the information I want to see. But I think that with languages, it should be a bit different, because with languages, the course should motivate you to continue and to learn the language, right? Because usually if you enroll to learn a language, then you are interested in learning a language and you have something from it, you know? You want the course to give you something that you will stay with it and you will feel that you have learned something more than you would get in a conventional classroom. And what I'm trying to say is that the courses so far, of course, depending on their aim, but the courses so far mainly work as MOOCs, so as traditional MOOCs. So, and this is why there is still a big dropout rate as well, because people are like, oh, I'm not interested, so I'm going out. And it should be the other way around, because, you know, language courses nowadays are also expensive, and you know, if you already enroll in a language course, well, you might want to finish or get something out of it. And so this is why I think that this is very interesting, because it follows a different approach. It follows you being So you being the teacher and you being the student at the same time. So getting a lot from, so get, I don't know, for me it's like getting more this awareness of how your language works in first place, and also, well, learning the language that you want to learn to become better in the second. Okay, so this is why I think that TandemMOOC was initially more successful, because it had these two components that other MOOCs don't. I don't know if I am, well, if I'm,
one thing that Dr. Apple and Jean, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, her colleague, pointed out at their presentation was that that many people in the tandem MOOC went beyond their original commitment to one another. In other words, they formed a social bond, so they communicated a lot more above and beyond the task that was given to them. And that's an indication that they really enjoyed what they were doing and they were benefiting from it. Perhaps that's a better metric than whether they completed the course or not, because when people are learning a language, they're not really trying to, they're not, you don't do that by saying, I'm going to do this, this, and this. You do it by wanting to learn it, by understanding that may or may not be a course. It could just be an interaction.
Yes, so basically these were my findings as well from the 14 interviews. Many people actually did do that, but some interviewees actually went there because they were expecting a course, and they did it like a course. So I think that, you know, I don't think there is a metric, a real metric as to what are they as to measuring the success of a MOOC. Yes, maybe the fact that, yes, they form groups and everything. This is the best one to see as well, to take a look at the quality of learning and everything. But I don't know, it really depends on how you feel, because when I was interviewing people, well, many people said, oh no, for me it was just a language course and I really enjoyed it. I talked with people and I felt I improved, but yes, but you know, this is where it stops. So I don't know. It's really personal. I think it really depends on the type of learner you are. So yes, I definitely agree. One good metric is to actually see how much they enjoyed the course. Yes, and what did they gain from it? What were the final gains?
So if we talk about attrition rates, we're not really talking. We're not addressing it all. What succeeded with the course, because given that the people enrolled in a MOOC are so high, the people who do it are so high, even though there are many who just come along for the ride and drop out. So that's actually, I would like to hear maybe soon more about your findings and what you found from it, because we're coming to the top of the hour, although it looks like people in my area have all, they're going to bed and everything like that, so I can stay and talk longer than the top of the hour. But I'd be really interested to get to the point where to find out what you found, given this conversation that we're having. Okay.
Okay, yeah, sure. Then I'll just... Okay, so this is the course outline. This is how TandemMOOC looks, okay? So as here you have the tandems that you could engage in, and here you have the calendar where you put your availability. I'm just setting up a little bit the TandemMOOC, okay? So right. So this is when you logged in. The first thing you saw was this, okay? So on your left you had the latest news, where you had different topics. And then, well, you have different tools here, all right? So frequently asked questions, suggestions, all right? Here you could access your portfolio in the center, and you could see the ranking, your ranking and the ranking of other participants. Okay, so I'll just, all right, so these are the short statistics. And well, this is the purpose of my study. So the purpose of my study is to find out the experiences and perceptions of the learners of Spanish and English in terms of an overall learning experience, so whether they enjoyed the course or not. The use of features in the platform, so what did they use most, apart from the tandems, of course, and the networking activities during the course and after the course, okay? And as an output, I prepared a list of recommendations for the next edition of Tandem MOOC. Is this okay?
Yes, fine for me.
Okay, before I continue, I see that Sabrina mentioned something about motivation. I'm curious how many of the students who enrolled were first time to learning online. I don't know. That's something that I do not know. I don't know. Usually people had some experience. Most of them did have experience in learning online. Well, learning. Previously they had exchanges with other students on Skype, so I don't know if I'm answering your question, Sabrina, before we continue.
I can't hear, I don't think Sabrina is talking, or maybe she needs to hit the talk button.
Yeah, no, I can't hear her either. I don't know, but I think she's writing, so I'll just wait.
As this is a recording, it's best if we keep talking, and when she enters something in text, we can answer her at that time. So do you want to carry on?
Yeah, sure, definitely. Okay, we'll do it like that then. Sorry. Okay, so basically what I did is I had 14 students, 14 interviewees. Six of them were native Spanish speakers and eight were native English speakers. They all successfully completed the Tandem MOOC, so I only look at that portion of participants and not at people who dropped out or because I didn't. I was interested more in seeing basically people who actually completed the course, mainly because of my output of the suggestions for improvement. Okay, but I do admit that for further research, it would be interesting to look to somehow track down people who did not complete the MOOC. Just to see why, what are the reasons, okay, since this MOOC follows a little bit of a different approach. I contacted them through email, and I made sure that consent was ensured by participants and course organizers, okay, so I really, really made sure that I wasn't using any personal data and that everything was in order, okay. My method was a sort of triangulation. So what I did is basically I compared data from semi-structured interviews with data from the post-tandem survey and data from participants' logins. So for example, if I had student one, then I would compare, for example, the question on overall learning experience, whether he enjoyed it or not. I would compare it with the login, so how many times he logged in, how many tandems that he completed successfully, he or she. Okay, so, and his reply from the post-tandem survey. Okay, so what did he reply? All right. Any questions so far?
How did you know what they did during the tandems? I mean, did they that they were doing what they were supposed to be doing, or just chatting?
I had the data because their tandems were recorded. So when I went to their portfolio, I had the data so I could see whether they were chatting or completing the exercises. I could hear them because I could replay the recording. So this is how I knew what they were doing and whether they were enjoying or not. Some of them were, but I think that's okay as well. I think that's okay because those who chatted, then they formed closer bonds and they continue doing lots of prearranged MOOCs, which is also nice to see. And yes, but I could access the data, okay? So I had my login and my password.
Doesn't it take a long time? How many people did you have to listen to? Just the 14 or all the people on the course?
Just the 14, yes. And yes, it does take a lot of time because you can imagine these 14 people were actually those who were most motivated. So top 10 in the rankings. So they did about, I don't know, 24 to 40 tandems. And so yes, it did take me a lot of time. But what I did is basically I only included data that was I really had to focus on what I wanted to include and summarize. Okay, so this is why not all of the data I found is included in my master's thesis dissertation. I only did a part of it. Okay, otherwise there is much, much more that can be used and investigated further on. But yes, well, due to time restrictions and, well, I had to limit, I had to narrow down all the data. I get it.
Do go on.
Okay. Yes, so the first experience, okay, so the learning experience in TandemMOOC was positive, okay? All my interviews reported positive learning experience from TandemMOOC, and from the post-tandem survey, there was a high ranking on the following items. So enjoyment when completing tandem tests, and the fact that people love practicing English and Spanish with native speakers. So for me, and compared with the logs, I concluded that, well, the learning experience in TandemMOOC was positive overall. Any questions about this part?
Well, I saw the presentation by Dr. Appel, and it was obviously very positive. I was really surprised that the positive aspects, especially the effective ones, and also, well, as we mentioned already, the fact that people would just continue talking. They really liked the configuration. They liked to get together and, well, actually, it took a social dimension, I think. There was a task dimension also, wasn't there?
Yes, there was. Yeah, there was a task dimension as well. Okay. But when you say task dimension, what do you think? What exactly are you referring to when you're saying task dimension? Is like when did they enjoy completing the tests? You mean?
Well, were they supposed to just set their own goals, or were they were put together to, it wasn't haphazard, it was organized. So how was it organized? And I had the impression that they had something, I can't remember what it was, but they were supposed to do something. They were given instructions at the outset that said they should, what will you tell me, because I can't really recall off the top of my head, but it wasn't just here, you two talk to each other. They were given specific tasks to accomplish. Yes, and Glennis asked, could you give us an example? So what were they asked to do? What got them talking to one another? What started the process?
Okay, so first of all, when the MOOC started, students would just log in, and then if they wanted to do a tandem, the program, because it was like a chat roulette, okay, a random tandem, so the program would arrange a tandem session with a partner, okay, and they would engage into a task. So they had a role play or a problem solving task. So for example, find the 8 differences. So if we start with you know, the simplest one, which is find the differences in the picture. So they would have basically the same picture, but with differences, okay? And they would have to talk about the differences solve the task. And then they would have to go on to a second task and complete it it was either similar or different. They would have to complete the task, okay? So, for example, first they had to agree whether they started with Spanish or they started off with English, and then they would have to swap, okay? And the main thing was that there was no exact time measurement, so what participants had to be aware of is that they needed to practice English or Spanish in the same amount of time, okay, more or less, all right? And some people didn't, from the logins, from what I could see, some people would just ended up talking English or ended up talking Spanish, or it really depends, but many people did do it correctly, okay? So basically they distributed the time, so for example 15 minutes for this task and 15 minutes for the other, and then they did like a social tandem, so they were talking to each other. And so basically this was it. So they were guided by a task, by a speaking task. And most of the tasks were very similar to the ones that you find in a first certificate book or an advanced book. Okay, so basically there was a question and then students would have to complete the task. So for example, imagine you and your friend are going to a barbecue. Okay, so what items are you going to take with you, all right? Or so what there are 8 differences in this picture with your partner, try and find the 8 differences, okay? So people would ask and answer each other's questions. This was one part of the whole organization. Another part of the organization is that it was really structured in terms of feedback. So when you ended the tandem session, when you completed the task and you ended the tandem session, as a participant, you would have to write a feedback and receive a feedback from the person, and the feedback was very structured. But the good thing is that sometimes the moderators of the course would guide students through the whole feedback process and would say, okay, so maybe in this task, you should focus more on this, you should focus more on pronunciation, or maybe in this task, you should focus more on vocabulary, okay, so that people knew more or less what to write in the feedback. Because even though the feedback was very structured, if you're not an English teacher, you might have difficulties in actually saying, oh my god, pronunciation, what am I going to write here? Okay, so sometimes that can be a bit, you know. And it often turned out that people gave a very, very general feedback, okay? But anyway, feedback was the second part of organization. And the third part of organization was the calendar. There was a calendar that people, just put their availability in. And this was, at the beginning, at least for the first 2 weeks, it worked well. Because when you don't know the participants very well and you don't know exactly your availability and more or less, well, it was a very good guideline for people to see when are the peak hours and, you know, which hours are the peak hours so they could continue. So they had more success in actually finding a speaking partner. I don't know if I'm answering your question.
That's very clear. Can I ask you a completely... That's very clear. Can I ask you a completely different question? What platform were you using? Were you using Blackboard or something different, like Moodle or something?
The platform was called SpeakUp, and it was very, very similar to a Moodle platform. Okay, the way it was organized and arranged, it was similar to a Moodle platform. In fact, I will share here my Prezi. Okay, so as you can see, I shared a link to my Prezi presentation, the one that I did in the conference, so you can actually see more in detail how was the course structured, because here I also have screen prints from the actual course tools. Okay, so I think that this also creates, but let me, if I go a little bit back, this is the platform, okay? So as you can see, this is how it looks like, and this is the SpeakUps platform. So it was made like a course in the SpeakUps platform, which was developed by the Open University of Catalonia. And they're still using it, the SpeakUps platform. They still use it for example, you can open a classroom there and actually do all sorts of collaborative tasks. Okay, you just have to write to the Open University of Catalonia and ask for permission, and it's completely free. And then you can even reuse materials that are there. Okay, let me just—I don't know if you're okay with it, I can just share a little bit of the presentation about the SpeakUps platform and the three components, if that's okay. I know this is a bit, we are taking it to another dimension, but, you know, maybe, just to, what do you think?
Learning together is very experimental and innovative, so we're happy to try. I would like to say we've been almost on an hour, so possibly we could wrap up shortly because I'm with my family, and I have to carry on here. But I would very much like to see if your Prezi will work in this platform. So you're more than welcome to do that. You could screen share. There's also something called a web tour. I think the screen share will be better. Why don't you try that? We've had kind of slow voice, so we're not really sure what's going on. I see you're starting your screen share. So it may not work just because there appear to be bandwidth issues. But let's try. It doesn't matter. We'll go ahead. I see you're doing that, so I'll give you back the microphone.
Yeah, I'm trying to make this work. So let me just wrap up and then I'll show you, okay, while I'm trying to make this work, if that's okay. So because I'm trying to make this work and I see that it's loading and I see that there is something going on, but I'm not sure. Okay, so while I'm doing this, wait. Okay, so let's see. Oh, no, this is not it. Uh-oh. No. Seems like I have some problems sharing. Or maybe. Okay, so this is loading. I did the other one, but I don't know if you can see it. And this one is, there it is. Okay, so as I was saying, where is it? Mm-hmm. Okay, so, yep. Okay, so these are the principles. Okay, these are the main objectives, the principles. All right, so this is it, basically. And this was the... So this is how the SpeakUps platform works. So you have three components of the SpeakUps platform. The first component is the platform itself, which is very similar in terms of design as a Moodle platform. Okay? And then the second one are the activities. Now the activities, it might be very interesting for people, especially for teachers. The activities are open for anyone to access and to create them and to modify them. Although these are mainly activities that are made for exam preparation. Okay, so I don't know. But they can be generalized, and you have them in many different languages, not only in English and Spanish, but also, as you can see, you have them in Catalan, in Polish, in also in many, many different languages. Okay, so the main aim of the activities is to connect professionals, so it's a Creative Commons license, so people can create and edit also these activities. Now, only one thing of advice is that sometimes, well, the pictures that are used for the activities must not be protected. Okay, so they should be also Creative Commons pictures, okay, which can be a bit tricky. So, for example, if you want to use The Simpsons, well, you cannot use them because they're protected, okay. But I'm sure that there are lots of web pages where you can find such pictures, okay, and then you create the speaking activity, all right. And then, well, oh dear, okay, so, and then, well, apart from the activities, you have the tools, all right? So there are three types of tools. The first one is the LangBlock tool, okay? The LangBlock is basically used for students to post short recordings of themselves. Of course, you as a teacher, you set the task, and then students post short recordings of themselves and comment on each other's recordings. So it's like a video blog, like a language blog, okay? It works as a video blog, all right? And it's set in WordPress, so it's a very similar setting to WordPress, okay? And then you have video chat, which is very similar to Google Hangouts, but the good point is that you can record the students' recordings, and you don't necessarily have to be present, but you can then access the recordings from the video chat storage page, and then you can access them, and then you can see what students did. Okay, this is very useful for collaborative tasks. Okay, so for example, if they have some kind of collaborative writing task or speaking, okay, so you see how the process of collaboration went on. Okay, so it's, or for example, role plays or whatever, it's very useful. And then finally, Tandem. Well, Tandem is when two, well, they interact. It's like when two people interact, okay? So it's like, I don't know, for role plays or, I don't know, for example, find the differences to get students to talk more, okay? So basically, and all these tools are part of the SpeakUps platform. So when you create your classroom, you can actually put all the tools, okay, and organize them according to the activities that you want to do. You just, the only thing you have to do is write to the Open University of California and ask them for a classroom, and then, you know, you can add the tools as you want, you know, to your preference. So yeah. So I don't know if you, is this okay, more or less? This is the SpeakUps platform, and this is where the Tandem MOOC was also made, okay?
That was very clear for me, thanks.
Yes, so let's see. So you can access my presentation from the link. At the end of the presentation I did for the conference, you have the web page of the SpeakUps platform, okay, and where you can find them. So if you want to contact them, you can do that. The emails are functioning, are working, okay, so everything is working. Yes, definitely. We can put links everywhere. Okay, so it's not a problem. This is material that is free to share, and well, as long as you know, it's very good. It gets a lot of well, I don't know, you know, it's good to advertise this sorts of things, especially because they're free as well. So, you know, if many people use it, then many people can comment on what are the problems, okay? So I'll just quickly wrap up my findings, all right? If that's okay, and then we are done in 5-10 minutes, okay?
Yes, that will be fine. Let's shoot for 5 or 10 minutes. And this is all very interesting. And also it's going to be interesting how it to see how it comes out in the recording. Incidentally, everything is archived at learningtogether.net. I'll put that link in the, anyway, you'll find the link that this session is being recorded. Any links that you provide us will be put in the archive at learningtogether.net. So there's a set of show notes there that we'll, you can add to, or you can also add them to the wiki, Ljubica or Sabrina, either of you can do that. Okay, anyway, continue.
Okay, thanks. So where was I? All right, so I'm just briefly going to tell about a couple of problems that people encountered when they were doing, okay? So sometimes when, although the experience was positive, people had technical difficulties, especially in terms of accessing their recording, okay? So many people did the recordings, but then when they went on the e-portfolio, well, they couldn't access them, okay? So that was a bit of a shame, but the course organizers were working constantly to improve this, and so, you know, as the course progressed, well, this was not that frequent, okay? But yes, so basically the main positive note that I personally got from the interviewees was that although they had technical problems, they completed the course because, well, as you've mentioned, Ben, their main aim was to show, to talk to other people and connect with other people and improve their language ability, okay? So although Tandem MOOC took a social aspect, the role of the social networks in the Tandem MOOC was almost non-existent. Okay, all the social aspects happened within the platform. I don't know. Well, Facebook and Twitter were used only for just informative purposes. So not so much, you know, not a lot. So people didn't connect with each other through Facebook and Twitter, but they did connect within the platform, which opens a different kind of window for researchers to, you know, why such social tandem was so unsuccessful in the social networks, okay, where it should have attracted even more participants, okay. And then if you go on to Tandem MOOC Facebook or Tandem MOOC Twitter, you can see just by looking at the pages that there was not much activity going on, okay. Any questions about this part? All right, so the other features that people used is that, well, the Tandem tasks played the central role, as we said. But the other features that were quite successful were the forums, which were especially useful when people tried looking at a speaking partner, okay? And they also, forums got a very high rank in the post-Tandem survey when it came to their usefulness, okay? So people really considered them useful. And then another feature was the calendar also, basically, to check availability and to find a speaking partner. And finally, something that I didn't mention here is that also a useful feature was the ranking, okay, because people would check the ranking and then would check availability of highly ranked speakers so they could practice with, all right? So the main problems with the learning in Tandem MOOC was the difference in language level, which sometimes was quite unclear whether we were talking about difference in level or just different varieties of Spanish and English, okay, because sometimes logins of the participants and findings from the tandem, from the semi-structured interviews I conducted did not match, okay? So, but the good thing was that students were aware that there were participants with different levels in the course, and that some kind of they still went with it and were very collaborative, okay? So they were helping other students, they were helping students regardless of their level to improve in the language they were learning, okay? Which I found very, very positive. Well, other important themes that occurred was, of course, what I mentioned before, that Spanish speakers outnumbered English speakers. And sometimes the feedback was too general and there were not enough activities in terms of content and in terms of stimuli. So basically there were only find the differences or role play or, well, so there were very, very simple activities and sometimes, well, participants had to repeat the activities and that was a bit sometimes they found it annoying. So basically, in their sentence structures interviews, what they wanted is more activities in terms of, I don't know, a richer output of activities, so more authentic activities. And well, they also wanted activities with richer cultural background, because the MOOC, well, focused only, the activities focused, well, but mainly focused on the Spanish and culture and English from the UK. Okay, so basically, participants said that it would have been interesting to actually take a look at other English or Spanish varieties. Okay, that would help them. All right, and yes, and well, one important thing, and I think that I will wrap up here, basically, is that 11 out of 14 interviewees are still in touch with each other from the MOOC. And so basically, they're still talking to each other. I even have one participant who is visiting another participant. So I think that they formed a really, really useful, you know, somehow they even formed some friendships. Okay, and yeah, so which was very, very positive. Fluency was only short term, but an increased confidence was noticeable after the pandemic, and this is what also the participants said, that it happened. And yes, so basically, and these were some of the recommendations I made in terms of, well, connectivity and usability, so maybe a clearer layout. And maybe a chat to facilitate even further the search of a speaking partner. Then in terms of social networks, so maybe more varied information, but this would be, you know, this is, it really depends, because I think that, well, considering the fact that Tandem is within the platform was so social, that maybe, again, who knows whether social networks will be successful or not, but yeah, maybe more varied information and not the same information over and over again. And then, well, when it comes to language learning activities, well, more richer activities in terms of linguistic and cultural content, and well, but yes, and more variety. Especially, I think it will be very useful to add videos as well, or short texts, or everything, songs even, whatever. So everything that can enrich the input. And well, if the level requirements, maybe it would be interesting to add a short level test, or maybe a clear description of what intermediate and upper intermediate level is, and what are the expectations, the course expectations for the participants, so clearer requirements, I'd say. And well, for the feedback, maybe even clearer guidance as to what students should focus on when giving feedback, because feedback was often quite general. And so I think that students would have benefited more if they were clearly guided as to what they were supposed to focus on. And yes, so that's it. And these are some of the limitations, but since we don't have much time, well, I think I'll just finish here. Okay.
Great. For people who are looking at the recording, they'll see the limitations slide on the screen as they leave the, so they can read all that. It's interesting, early on you said that you thought that people for studying languages, that they would want to take a course and finish the course. But what, and your study is basically about a course, but it seems that you're finding that what's really effective with language learning is being able to take the experience outside the course, beyond the course, because that seems to be what's really appealed to the students. It's interesting, you're studying how to improve the course, which, yes, of course, are you responding to what the students want, but if maybe they don't know what they want, maybe what they really want is to find friends and then develop their language online. This is an aside, I've been calling CAL, computer-assisted language learning, SMALL, social media-assisted language learning. I'm kind of interested in this aspect of things that I don't think that CAL really exists, but it's more social media-assisted language learning. And your study seems to support the notion of social aspects of learning, especially learning languages.
So, yes, but, you know, yes, I think that what they're trying to get is a richer experience outside of the course, but the interesting thing is that, yes, I think that people, when it's something really, really focused, and, you know, for example, okay, with this course I will improve my Spanish, they do know what they expect, and they do know, so because they reflect on their learning process and everything, but I don't know, I really do think that for them, for some of them, this was actually a course, so this was not some kind of an experience outside, at least from what I could get outside of the course, but it was something that, yes, they were considering as another course that they actually really benefited, some of them. The others, for others, it was just like a social experience. As I said before, this really, really depends on the learning style they had, because some people, well, didn't continue with their speaking partners, and some did, and some found it course, and some didn't. But I had a question about this in my semi-structured interviews, but I didn't include it in the data, and I didn't analyze it. Okay, I was asking them whether they considered Tandem MOOC more of a like a social platform or a course. Okay, and I got some pretty interesting findings, but in the end I didn't include them because of time constraints, unfortunately. But you'd be surprised, many people said it was a course, so they considered it a course from those who finished it, from the 14 participants, which is also quite of a small sample of the overall population. But yes, I don't know, I think this, whether they consider it an experience outside of the course or just a course, should be investigated more into detail. And yeah, it would be an interesting thing to look upon.
Yes, I'm not getting any response. Now I am, okay. It's just like a doctor and his patients. When you go to the doctor, you don't really know what you want. You want to get cured, but you can't really specify how you're going to get cured. You might have a different conception before and after visiting the doctor. Let's say, for example, he uses acupuncture or something like that. So you don't really know what you want until you've undergone the experience, and that's why I think people think they want courses. They start with a course, and then they've got their minds set up on a course. But in fact, I see in your data that you're showing the importance of social dimensions. That's what I see anyway. But that's because I'm looking at it through my skewed lens as well.
Yes, definitely. Social dimension plays a huge, huge role when it comes to learning a language as well. And yes, in this case, it was the social dimension, which was very, very important, especially when it came. But also, you know, it really, again, I think it's quite individual. I think I should need, before I comment any further, I think I should need to research more in depth what exactly is going on here. But one thing I did find out that goes into, and it goes in favor of the notion of actually of the social dimension being very, very important when it comes to learning a language, is that participants asked for many features that social media has. So, for example, a chat like in Facebook, a chat like in Google Hangouts, or something similar, many, many similar features, you know. So, for example, a newsfeed, having a newsfeed or something, which also shows, you know, goes in favor of this social learning. And this is also interesting, I think, for further research to somehow take a look as to how such platforms like Moodle, Blackboard, Canvas, even how they're slowly transforming, and where is the border between social media and such platforms, okay, so learning platforms. This was my conclusion that I draw upon after actually completing my master's.
I hope you'll come back and tell us more when you've learned more, when you've researched further. Sorry, I was playing with your slides. That was me moving the slides. So thank you very much. We've been talking to Ljubica Demetska, a student from Spain working on Tarragona, in fact, working on Tandem MOOC, which she's been explaining in this webcast. And we thank Sabrina Wilson for setting this up for us. This is Learning Together. I always make sure everyone knows the date when they listen to my webcast. It's the 26th of, I think it's the 26th of July. That's a Sunday. This is Learning Together. You'll find us at learningtogether.net. And thank you very much, Ljubica, for coming and telling us about your, giving us a very interesting presentation. Even though there was only one participant here, Glennis Hansen was with us and asked a lot of interesting questions. There will be many, I guarantee you, who will listen to the recording. So thank you very much, and we'll have you again maybe in the wintertime when there will be more people around to in school and not on vacations like I am.
Okay. Well, again, thank you very much for inviting me. For me, this was really unexpected, and I hope you enjoyed my talk, even though this is, you know, my research is a really small research, and it's part of a bigger research that Professor Apple, my supervisor, Dr. Apple, is conducting at the moment. And yes, I really enjoyed it. This was my first talk, basically. I hope to participate in other talks again now that I've learned that this is actually going on, and I found it really, really interesting. So yes, thank you very much.
The recording of the talk will be put up very quickly. That wiki, you can find it there. I'll put it there in the next half hour or so. And then later on, we'll make an MP3 from it, and we'll make a YouTube video of it as well. And we'll post all that at learningtogether.net, and we'll put it up on our social network sites and all that. And so, again, thank you very much, and we'll see you again soon, we hope. Bye for now.
Bye, all of you.
Bye-bye. Thank you.